We're getting recording, and yes, we are all for minimum wage and having it be just humongous.
That's right. $1 million for everyone.
Exactly.
$1 million an hour. They were having one of those $15 wage rallies in downtown Cleveland recently. It's offensive. I went to college.
I think it was actually Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine told them to fuck off, which is pretty impressive. Because I'm from Portland, and that is I used to get mad at people for when I'd tell people I was from Portland, and they'd be like, "Oh, you mean Massachusetts?" And then I moved down to Massachusetts, and also, you know, spent a lot of time living in Central Maine and other parts of Maine, and went, "Oh yeah, no, they were right." I was just being all ass hurt. No, that was absolutely correct that Portland, Maine is that liberal, and so. But they said they actually saw it through it and realized, "Oh wait, no, that would screw everybody."
Yeah.
Are we live yet? Because it's after 9.
Yeah, we're live.
Yes.
Okay. Because people are complaining that they missed the welcome to the internet from Weird.
That's because he didn't say it.
You know what, internet? I'm saying hello.
Not complaining.
Brita was complaining. It was a librarian from Ohio.
Librarian.
By the way, Brita, I've never asked you this. As an Ohioan, as a Buckeye.
Yeah.
How much of a turd is John Kasich?
Oh God, I feel like every time somebody on the internet complains about him, I feel like apologizing. I'm so sorry.
You have an Obama moment.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's that's how Republicans are in this state. You know, they're Democrats, really.
They're the
smushy middle kind of politics. And that's what he is. I mean, he's exactly it. So,
I didn't feel that way whenever anyone asked me about Mitt Romney. Oh, I really like this Mitt Romney guy. That's doing really well on the polls. You know, what do you think about him? And my answer is don't.
No. Yeah. I feel bad. Well, and also I don't know. It's laughable to me because he's apparently running all sorts of ads about how he's done such a great job of lowering taxes in Ohio. Really?
When was that?
When?
Don't worry, he's currently running behind.
Was it one of those decreases in the amount of increase, or they didn't increase them?
I just think it's a flat out lie.
They didn't increase them as much as they wanted to, so they called it a reduction.
I think it's just a flat out lie.
Or was it Mitt Romney is an avid varminer? And John Kerry likes to shoot geese.
I don't know. I like Carly.
Yeah, she's good.
I like Carly as well. I got to say, for all the fuck-ups there are on the Republican lineup, there's some halfway decent stuff. And I won't lie. I was one of those people that Bobby Jindal and Ben Carson were two people that I was like – and I really like a lot of them, but man, if they could only scrape some of the Jesus off the top of that, it's a little thick on top there. Yeah. But I gotta say, the more Donald Trump opens his mouth, the more I'm like, yeah, I'll vote for the black vegetarian teetotaler.
Jay, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I really want to see a Ben Carson, Bobby Jindal ticket running against a Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden ticket, just so I can hear. I've said this before. I can hear the media claim with a straight face the GOP is the party of old white men. And you know they would without a trace of irony, without the slightest hint of shame or irony. Oh, the GOP is the party of old white men.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw, but like there was in the after show after this latest debate that I didn't watch. I just saw this on Hot Air. It was a clip of Chris Matthews talking about Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz going, well, they have Hispanic surnames. I don't know if you can necessarily call them Hispanic because they're Cuban.
What?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, come on.
Let me dig it up because, yeah, no, yes. I mean, wow.
Cubans aren't really Hispanic.
Well, of course not.
No,
well,
Republicans aren't really Hispanic is really what he was trying to say.
To call them white Hispanics. That's the funny part. They can't even use their bullshit, friggin' politically correct gobbledygook they used for George Zimmerman.
And I love, and I get, I love the Hispanic is a, you know, Hispanic is, you know, it's like, so wait, how can you be white and Hispanic? Isn't Hispanic a race under this goofy business? And they're like, oh, no. Hispanic is a culture. And also, according to people, it's also the only culture because there's no other checkbox anywhere that gets the checkbox. Right. You know, I mean, if I want to be, you know, super duper honest, which I don't want to anymore because there's nothing to win on it. I always check other, maybe I'm a Pacific Islander this week sort of idea because fuck you. I'm not going to say I'm a white person. If you are progressive racist, please disregard me.
I am a meat popsicle.
Exactly. But, you know, there's no other checkbox. I can't say that I'm a white French Canadian, I'm a white Mainer, I'm a white Scottish American. I mean, there's a million little cultural bullshits that I could check off as well that would be just as viable as, you know, Cameron Diaz checking off that she's Hispanic.
I want to identify as Samoan just because.
Well, you did used to be fat, Jay.
Samoan sucks.
How about that? Thursday, November 12th, 2015.
It's in the past! It's in the past!
I don't even know what episode this is. 172? I think it's 172.
We could look it up.
I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
I'm pretty sure it's 172.
172!
All right.
Good call, Alan.
I'm counting on you guys to keep me awake.
Oh, we'll try.
Okay.
How you feeling, Brita?
I'm so tired right now. I can't lift my arms.
Ooh. Tell everyone what you did.
Squats.
Oh.
But not with my arms.
Not burpees?
No, you don't do squats with your arms.
No.
What is a burpee?
Besides, I always thought they made seeds.
Yeah, that's that's me. If I want some heirloom tomatoes, that's who I talk to.
I think it's like a plank, and then you do another thing, and then you jump up, and then you do another plank or something. It's like this. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you go. You start standing, and then you drop to like a squat, and then you stick your legs out behind you, kind of like a plank position, and then you pull your knees back up into like a squat with your hands on the ground, then you stand back up.
Oh.
And that's one.
Well, I didn't do those.
Me and LaWeirda were playing in the park once when a summer boot camp came running by, and she just dove in and wanted to participate. So she was trying to do all the exercises, and it was fucking awesome.
Did she do
them? Yeah. Well, some of them, and what she thought they were doing. I'm trying to remember what she had. Something in her hand that was her kettlebell because they were doing kettlebell stuff. She had something. I don't know if it was her hat or she picked up like a pine cone or something. But yeah. toddler CrossFit.
Well, I am 41 years old, and I just this week learned how to do squats. Was able to do squats this week because
I must say, Brita,
yeah.
I'm actually not surprised on this because you do only have one leg.
Well, that's the problem. You can't.
I get that you can do those because, you know, I saw Men of Honor.
Okay.
That was about the Cuba Gooding Jr. movie about the one-legged Navy diver.
Oh.
But still,
the problem with squats and having a prosthesis is that your ankle doesn't bend. And when you try to do a squat without a bendy ankle, you like fall over because you don't have balance. Yeah. But the trainer and I figured out how to do it this week. And so I've been doing squats.
How do you do it?
Well, on Tuesday I used a machine. And you like get in this machine and you brace yourself. And it's called a hack squat machine. And it's got like a
squat-o-matic.
I don't know. It is kind of, it should be a squat-o-matic, I think.
They missed the perfect naming opportunity.
I know.
The squat-o-matic.
But today I was just doing a squat and I put a plate, like a 5-pound plate on the floor and then put my left foot half on it. So I was like simulating kind of like an ankle motion. And then I held a weight in front to like counterbalance and I could do it. Cool. So buns of steel coming soon.
Rita.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I've gotten drunk and groped your buns, and you can already bounce a quarter off of those.
Just you wait.
I believe the term was chip a tooth.
actually, I remember that, and it was chip a tooth.
Just you wait.
So what you're saying is the next time we meet up, I will be able to hone a knife on your rear.
Yes. Cut glass like a diamond.
Well, about cut, because, I mean, your butt also doesn't have any sharp edges.
Just wait.
All right, now I'm terrified. Brita's going to have a prismatic diamond hardness.
Stop. My penis can only get so erect.
Oh, God.
Jay, if it lasts more than 4 hours, you have to call the doctor.
This show is only an hour long.
Speaking of Archer,
which Brita was right about.
Thank you.
See, there you go.
What other show was I right about?
Firefly,
right.
I still can't get into Buffy, though.
You just hadn't watched it enough.
I'm with you, Jay.
I'm being dragged kicking and screaming into Doctor Who.
Yay.
That's good for you.
The modern version is much less boring than the 1960s British version. Well, I mean, they're both British, but...
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Hey, Jay, by the way, have you watched the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie?
I've not watched Buffy the anything.
Okay, watch Buffy Vampire Slayer the movie. The TV show sucks, but the movie's awesome.
That's completely opposite from reality.
And you know who else thinks that? Joss Whedon, and guess what? He's wrong. Yeah, no, I love the Buffy movie. Ugh.
My lungs are burning from the cardio. Is that normal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My lungs are burning from bronchitis.
Oh no.
Unfortunately, that is normal.
Yeah, that's normal too.
That's terrible. Bronchitis is the worst.
The little girl is like probably bringing home like diseases that I've mostly figured out, but since I've been getting exposed to them on such high levels.
Yeah.
I'm just getting these like completely obnoxious of the I don't feel good. I'm super tired at the end of the day, but I under no circumstances am even tempted to call out sick from work.
Yep.
Yeah, get used to that for the next like 10 years too.
Yeah, pretty much.
It levels off like around middle school because once they get
out of elementary school and start like washing their hands and stuff.
She's actually pretty good about washing her hands. Take her into take her into like a public bathroom that's got the foaming hand soap, and she'll want to wash her hands 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, be careful on that.
We have a caller.
Oh my God! What? A caller?
We have a caller. Would you believe this is a call-in show?
No way.
It's MDev.
Well,
MDev. He's alive.
He's still alive. I thought we had lost MDev.
I thought he'd been. I thought he'd been abducted by Cthulhu.
I've been on hold since 10 minutes before the show started.
Yeah, well.
He must really want to talk to us.
Wow. Yes, because for the last like 3 episodes, you're like, oh, Emma didn't call in.
You've been supplanted by Arctic Elf. I'm just telling you.
It's okay. We can have it.
We had a stunt MDiv.
the last check you sent me bounced anyway. So.
Wait, somebody sent checks?
Publishers Clearinghouse, right? That's you guys? That's your front company?
Publishers Squirrel House.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Please enjoy these valuable coupons.
I only have a minute, but I have a crockpot recipe for you guys.
Oh.
Yay!
Fire when ready.
I was going to call in like a month ago, and then Brita dashed my hopes and said, there's no show. Alan's in Texas or California or wherever. California, I guess. You live in Texas.
It was Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Kazakhstan, right? Because somehow you didn't have internet in Silicon Valley.
That's right.
I didn't quite get how
that... It was mystifying to me, too. I blame the rapacious accounting department at the Holiday at the Hilton.
Fair enough. So here's my crock pot recipe that my wife made, and it's delicious. You get those the glass mason jars with the metal lid.
Yep.
You pour a small can of condensed milk into it, so it's like half full condensed milk. You seal it up with the mason jar lid. You put it in your crock pot. You fill the crock pot with water. You turn it on. You walk away for 12 hours. When you come back, you have caramel sauce.
Huh. Here's my question. You seal it up. It doesn't explode?
No, because you're only, you only fill like half the jar. You know what I mean? The jar holds, say, 20 ounces, and there's 8 ounces of milk there. You know?
Okay. Because I know that people do it, they just leave the condensed milk in the can, and they do it that way, and they're like, oh, well, you have to be really careful with this recipe because it might explode. I'm like, pass.
No, we just did it in the glass mason jars. It worked perfectly fine.
Okay, cool.
So, and it's delicious, great. And we put it on some coconut waffles, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Coconut waffles sounds like a really good idea, too.
Hey, MDev.
Yeah.
Did you get your iPad Pro yet?
So, funny story about that. It exists. It is ready for my pickup, but I had it shipped to my top secret address where I don't pay sales tax, and I haven't gotten there yet. So,
I got mine today.
So, I mean, yes, mine exists. You know, I could have picked it up Thursday morning. It was ready, you know, whatever. And then I was a little bit sad because I waited up till midnight and kept refreshing the page and ordered it like 12:03. And then when I logged on the next morning at work, I could have ordered the exact same one and like just picked it up right there. So I didn't even have to wait up till midnight and show.
Yeah, apparently they were like all in stores and stuff too. So yeah.
Yeah, like I could have just walked in the Apple store and picked it up. But my wife bought an Apple Watch this last week, so she actually got one before I did.
Hey.
Because until 3 weeks ago, she had an Android phone, and now we both have new iPhones. And she got a watch before I did, because I'm getting my new iPad.
Nice.
iPad Pro.
It's really big.
Yes, yeah, I'm super excited about it.
I had to listen to Alan say over and over this afternoon, oh, well, my God, it's so big.
My wife already yells at me.
It hurts my butt.
My wife already yells at me because I don't watch Netflix on the TV. I watch it on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
And that's only going to get worse. Yeah. That's only going to get worse now that I have.
Yeah,
Is it true that it doesn't have 3D touch?
It has...
What the fuck is 3D touch?
I'm loving the 3D touch on my new phone.
It has force touch. So it has like, does not have the iPhone 6S 3D touch, but it does have the force touch.
Gotcha. And what the hell does this shit mean?
It means it detects pressure on the screen.
Yeah, because it has to have the pressure sensitive for the pen.
So it's like the buttons in the original Street Fighter game.
Actually, the pencil has its own force sensor inside it. So.
Wait, it's got a stylus? Yeah.
It has a pencil that you can order separately.
That you have to buy separate for $100.
Wait, it's a pencil or a stylus?
It's a pencil.
So you can Is it a pencil?
Yes, it's a pencil.
No, you cannot use it as a pencil. No.
It's a pencil on the tablet.
So it's not a fucking pencil, it's a stylus.
It's a pencil.
It's why an is it?
All right, I'm gonna let you
Bye, MDev. Thanks for calling.
It's an eye pencil.
Oh, my God. Why do you people not see the light that Apple is shit?
It's not shit. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's a runny turd. It's awful.
Well.
Speaking of Apple products, my daughter took a shit in the toilet. Yay!
Hooray! Is this progress?
This is huge progress.
Oh,
did she do it like, hey, I need to go, or did you just like catch her at the right moment?
No, it was, well, yes and no. I mean, it's one of those part of the, you know, teaching a 2-year-old to use the potty is just constantly saying, hey, do you want to use the potty? And unfortunately for my sake, it is the, I'm going to go use the potty, and it becomes a group participation game.
Yeah.
So that means
the top is your friend. I'm doing
a whole lot of sitting. So I'm solidary with you, Brita. I am no longer cis male.
Do you have the little mini potty next to the big potty?
Yes.
That was such a cute thing until you walk into the bathroom at 3 a.m. And then it's not so cute.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it's not in my 3 a.m. bathroom. It's in my downstairs half bath.
Ah, okay. We had them in every bathroom, just in case.
Well, the thing is, she really actually likes the big potties. So she had just been sitting down on the big potty, and nothing really happened. And, oh, well, that sometimes happens. And then I decided that there was a little bit of pee in her pull-up, and so I threw that away and I said, "Let's get a new one." And so she went over to the diaper bag and grabbed a wicker basket filled with diapers, and she brought over one that she thought was satisfactory, and then she started doing kind of a little scrunchy dance, and I said, "Do you need to go potty?" And she said, "No." Yeah, but you stay right here, Daddy. And I said, fine, I'll stay right here. That's all good. So she went into the bathroom. You know, she climbed up on her stool and turned the lights on. And then next thing you know, she comes out and she goes, "I went potty and it's something different."
And she needed privacy to do it.
And went in and, oh, my God, like, that would be a good run for me. Like, that's a satisfactory poop for me. I don't know how little kids work. I do not know how little kids work, but that was a gigantic turd. And so there was a lot of hoorays and a lot of happiness and all that. And then she pooped yesterday at daycare.
In the potty.
Yes. And even though that was a gigantic turd that she dropped in the potty, she also pooped in her diaper just before bedtime that day.
Wow.
But so we're making a huge project. And at two, I am officially the least concerned about potty training. I think it's going to happen with minimal parenting.
It happens regardless, but the big question is where.
Yes. When your child starts getting laughed at for shitting their pants at kindergarten, it happens.
Kindergarten?
I'm sorry, fifth grade.
We're Italian. Come on, we're slow. It's a bippity-boppity.
All right. Since we have missed a couple of shows and all that, I want to have Jay take a fucking victory lap over you and other Virginians telling Michael Bloomberg to fuck off.
That was pretty good.
Oh, my God. I was feeling such solidarity with you, Jay.
We were pleased.
There is a larger scope to it. Not only is it that, you know, Michael Bloomberg, fuck off. But this fucking progressive notion that we need to fuck around with how people exercise their freedom of speech with their wallets, and, like, you know, I don't know if it's a First Amendment issue. It's a First Amendment issue. But still, it's one of those, like, if I wanted to suddenly say, you know what, I'm going to mortgage my house and give all of my earthly assets to Donald Trump, it's retarded, but it should be a viable option. You know, there's nothing stopping you from doing that and going to Foxwoods and dumping it all into the slot machine. So why?
Or you could give it to me.
Or I could give it to Alan. I mean, but people are like, oh, we need to have reform. You know, you have to be able to limit it on the money that you can give to politicians, and politicians should be limited on the money they can spend and when they can buy ads and where they can buy ads and blah, 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 blah. No. And this proves it. Michael Bloomberg spent $1 jillion on a very, very – on like two very, very small races. Or was it three? How many races did he get in?
It was three. But the third one he won – but that was defending a Democrat.
Yes.
It was a Democrat held the seat and he continued to hold the seat.
Yes.
The other two, they were trying to oust the Republicans and they failed.
And by the way, those of you who read Bloomberg's website, The Trace, there was a couple of victory laps they took on that one, which was hilarious.
Yes.
We defeated the NRA in their own backyard. No, you didn't.
held on to a gerrymandered seat that's been gerrymandered forever and has been always held by a Democrat.
Is it really gerrymandered?
It only cost us $700 billion.
Yeah. But again, it just shows that, no, you just – for some strange reason, progressives think that Democrats buy – can, you know, think that people can just buy votes. Just dump
because
enough.
Usually they can. They show up in Wisconsin and hand out cigarettes and booze to the friggin' bums and, huh, look, they all vote. They all vote Democrat, too.
Yeah, but that's also going on the fact that the system is looking the other way intentionally.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that's different. The system is rigged there for the Democrats no matter what. I mean, Senator Al Franken.
I say Senator Stuart Smalley.
We found another box of ballots and they're all one way. Can you believe it? This entire voting precinct that technically doesn't exist on paper all voted exactly the same way.
And with 100%
participation. 100% turnout and every single person voted for the Democrat. You know, like in Florida, the cherry-picked counties that Al Gore wanted recounted, and they found boxes full of votes, all for Al Gore. Imagine that.
We have a call.
Two callers?
I know, it's creepy.
No way.
This is area code 508. Hello.
Oh, that's Arctic Elf.
Is it? Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
It is the invisible caller.
We're listening.
It's the caller who shall not be named. Hello.
Oh, by the way, another past history.
All right.
Hang up. Let them call back.
I did.
Yeah. Another past history.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yay.
Are you there?
Is that Arctic Elf?
I don't know who it is. Are you there? Hello.
They're creeping me out.
I don't know what's going on.
Hang up.
Yeah, they can call back.
I blame Alan's new iPad.
It's not the iPad.
Are they calling your ice watch?
No.
How are you loving the ice watch?
Let's try this again. Okay. Let's try this again. Hello. 508, you there? Hello?
No.
Hello?
By the sound of the dead air, they are there.
There you are.
What is that?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I hear noise.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, the Arctic Elf.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, okay.
Can you actually hear us as well?
Yes.
I feel like
obviously Alan did something wrong. This is not how it's supposed to
work.
I feel like I'm one of those old, like, you know, there's a classic scene in the sergeant in the what was it, Gary Cooper, Sergeant York movie where they're like screaming into the phone at the general store. Because they can't, you know.
I think Alan just answered the waffle iron.
Well, so we can't. I can't blame this all on Alan because I'm out in the mountains in Western Virginia this weekend. So, it's possible that it's actually my cell connection.
I'll blame you,
Peacemaker.
Yeah. Well, we're working on converting deer into venison.
Ooh,
that sounds fun.
I'm jealous.
I need to do that shit.
Well, there's four of us out here, and so far, two people have deer in the freezer.
So. Nice. Now, does West Virginia have the same stupid caliber restriction that Virginia does?
Well, we're nowhere in Western Virginia, James River State Park area.
Oh, so, okay, sorry, I thought you said West Virginia.
So, yeah, Western.
They made me buy a 300 blackout.
Oh, you can't use.
Yeah,
they made you buy.
Yes.
Well, you got it greater than 23 caliber.
Yes. Yeah, not 25 because of all the 243 Winchester kicking around.
That's right.
It can't be 223, even though it's especially some of the deer in Virginia. Holy smokes! I didn't realize they came that small.
To be fair,
it's a deer, really? It's like. The size of
223 is a little small for deer.
Intakes in Germany.
Go ahead, Dr. Calvin.
223 is a little small for deer.
It's a little small for people.
Well, but you don't worry whether they're anchored or not. You don't have to track them through the woods to get your back straps and hams back.
Well, that's true. You don't care if they go bleed out somewhere in the ditch.
That's why I've got a
hunting bag. That's right.
That's why I specifically bought a hunting bag for my FAL. Oh, I'm going to kill a deer with that son of a bitch.
Yes, I'll tell you what, we got
down upon it.
Oh, that's true. I could kill it with the brass.
We got two more days of muzzleloader, and then we're switching over to major caliber center fire rifle. So, I think we've got a mixture of .30-06 and .308 out here.
That'll work.
50 Beowulf?
No, nobody's shooting 50 Beowulf. We're shooting 50 caliber or 45 caliber muzzleloader stuff.
600 Nitro Express?
Which work. No, that would be sort of like shooting groundhogs with a .30-06.
Oh, that's the red mist.
That would
effect.
Be fun, but pink misty.
Well, exactly. And again, you won't get your hands and back straps back if you hit a deer with a 600 nitro.
Scrape them off the countryside.
Actually, you know, now that I think about that, it might just make a 0.6 caliber hole all the way through the deer and not expand or really do anything. The words "got in the flight path" might be the way to describe that.
Oops.
I've got an old Maine storytelling record, and the guy talks about hunting deer with an old goose gun that he says was 12 and a half feet long, and says he loaded it up with shingle nails.
And the
deer was just picked up already butchered in chops and hamburger.
So a punt gun filled with shingle nails. I figure that's a little bit like a guy who got a deer with his mountain cannon, right?
Oh, I remember that. Oh, that was such...
canister shot.
Oh, yep. Lord.
Yep. And talked about how after you shot the deer, you quickly dump a bucket of water down the muzzle of the mortar it was a mortar and then run down the hill while throwing 12 gauge slug hulls in your path, just in case the game warden asks you. You can be like, "Oh yeah, no, I shot him like 5 times with a 12 gauge slug gun."
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm not really clear if there was actually a deer downrange for that video or not.
I didn't see the video of it, but there's a blog up for it with hunting deer with a Civil War mortar, and he has a skinned out deer, and you can see the .68 caliber holes in it.
Fortunately, the choke on those things isn't very tight.
The choke is the size of an engine block.
Well, exactly.
It's got a muzzle brake that looks like the cylinder from a Cummings diesel.
Yeah. It's the choke is the fucking smokestack of a factory.
Thanks for calling.
Those actually do have... All right, have a good night.
Thanks, RPL.
So you're going to say that like factories have chokes on their smokestacks? They probably do. I don't know. There's probably something weird.
They have they have particle filters and all kinds of shit on them.
Yeah.
Muzzle brakes.
Yeah.
Muzzle brakes.
That's pretty much what it is.
So I met Larry Correa.
I heard.
Tell us about that.
Oh my God, it was so it was one of those just like I was just going right out straight all morning. It was like Laweird and I went to the grocery store first thing in the morning, and then we were out playing, and my wife had like a ton of like housework to do. So she was just like, "All right, you guys, you get her out of the house so I can get stuff done." And so we were just running around. And then finally she hit the wall and was like tired and cranky, fed her lunch and put her to bed. And I just plopped down on my chair, grabbed my tablet, and I think was playing like some stupid video game or something like that. Just going, finally, a moment to stop. And I realized, shit, Larry's at the Burlington Barnes and Noble, and my original plan was to show up. He was supposed to be there, I think, at 2 o'clock, and was it 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock or someplace like that? But I wanted to show up early so that I could be there before he arrived, so that when he arrived, I'd be first in line to make sure that I got to talk to him and be able to get back here before the baby woke up. And I went, oh, crap, he's already been there for a little while. And I went, yeah, well, got to go. So grabbed some stickers, grabbed some business cards, and went down there. And turns out Larry does not play a conventional book signing. He just has everyone gathers around, and we just all sit around and shoot the breeze. And if someone has something to sign or wants to ask questions, it just comes up.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really cool. It was really, really cool.
Oh, he didn't make you do like a pass and review like everyone else does?
No, yeah. No, I mean, I had a book signed by Chuck Palahniuk, the guy who wrote Fight Club. And it just so happened the dude up ahead was like someone who had come by earlier and gone home and grabbed something for him and all that. So he was just talking his ear off. And so all of a sudden, nah, he wasn't really all that interested in talking to me. Sort of idea. And I just went, ah, you bastard. I wanted to at least like exchange something with him instead of just getting a book signed. But yeah, no, this was just Larry holding court. It was really neat. Cool. And got to meet a squirrel.
I know. That's neat.
Oh yeah. Did she announce it on the Book of Face?
No, I didn't. I only heard about it from you. You said you met Maureen, right?
Yes, I did.
That's nice.
Yep. Yep. No, she was there. She was very cool. And I forgot to ask her. She said she might call in, she says, I've got to try to call in sometime. So who knows what that amounts to, but I forgot to ask her. I was thinking about it as I was driving home of going, oh my God, I just realized I didn't ask her if she recognized me by looking at me or hearing me talk. Cause I just realized that it's technically more likely, given that this is a radio show, that she recognized me when I opened my big mouth and let out my nasally drone.
You're not on Facebook, so she hasn't seen
me. I'm not on Facebook. Yes.
Hmm.
But yeah. So, but yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. We should have him on the show.
Well, now that you're best buds, you can.
That's right.
Him.
Well, even
if he is a real author.
We have had one or two real authors on this show before.
I don't think so.
Well, we've had one.
We've had Major Claude Hill.
Yeah, we had the Major.
I don't know if he's a real author.
Might not.
I'm using Larry Correa's. He's got some social justice warriors who claim he's not a real author because he can't pull 500 people at a book signing. Like Tom Clancy doesn't pull 500 people at a book signing.
No.
Not anymore. You know?
What does a book signing have to do with it? What size is your paycheck?
Yes.
Nobody ever accused social justice warriors of, you know, consistency or logic or, you know,
they can't count paychecks because they don't get one.
Yeah. Well, of course they do from the government.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm sorry. I was R.A. Salvatore's escort at an anime and fantasy con, and even he got probably maybe 150 some people lined up to sign his books. And yeah, no, that was a pretty wild and woolly book signing. That might have been one of the bigger ones I've ever seen.
Books
500.
Yeah, books usually don't get that much because people don't read.
But even then. People that read aren't, you know, you're not, that doesn't necessarily mean you care to meet the author too.
Oh yeah. Well, most of the time you don't want to.
Oh, that's exactly it. Though to be fair, hilarious enough. So for those who don't know, R.A. Salvatore, he lives somewhere here in Massachusetts and he does his claim to fame is he's written a bunch of books off of various D&D modules. And again, that's my thought as well, is congratulations, you're playing around in the world that somebody else wrote. Good job, buddy.
So he's a very successful fanfic writer.
Yeah. Exactly. There is another way to ridicule the guy and all that. And just, oh, well, I mean, you know, except for super nice guy. Like, I had a lot of fun working with him. He was cool. So I find it very hard to look down my nose.
Hey, if somebody's willing to pay you for it.
Nobody was paying me for it.
No, I mean, his, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, no. Yeah. Yeah. You get a paycheck from it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if
no, if nobody gets a paycheck from writing that crazy drama.
Somebody's willing to pay you for your skanky, you know, Wesley Riker slash fic, then.
You know. I really, you know, the what I think I should write. That dinosaur porn.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
That is, like, really popular.
It's actually a thing.
Yes.
Dinosaurs fucking?
No.
No. Human. It's like romance novels.
Romance, yeah.
Except, like, the man is instead of, like, you know, the buxom lass falling in love with the Scottish rogue in the Highlands, she's, like, in prehistoric times, like, doing it with a dinosaur.
So it's a donkey show, but with a pachycephalosaurus?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't believe you didn't know about this already. Yeah,
I didn't. Actually, I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on the show before.
No, maybe not.
We might have talked about it on the other show. Which, by the way, that other show had Bayou Renaissance Man on it, who I am super ingrained in in one of his series. He's written some good books.
I think I read a couple of his.
Yeah. Oh, and Murgy's asking in the chat how many were at Burlington. Well, it's hard to say because, again, it was just like a crowd. So there's probably maybe like 20 at the most, but there are just people like constantly coming and going. Someone would show up and just kind of mill about and listen to him saying, or, you know, what he's saying, and ask him questions and all that. And then somebody would leave and somebody else would come. And so it's hard to say. It's not like there was a big, long line. But yeah. But yeah, I guess Larry's not a real author.
No, apparently not.
No, because he just does it for a living and makes a comfortable living. But that doesn't make him an author. Because I don't think he's had a single transgendered character in any of his books.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, being an author or writer, that's one of those really weird definitional things, right? So if you say, if somebody were to like, oh, I'm a writer. Oh, really? What have you written? Well, nothing that's been published.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like if you were trying to claim, well, I'm a software engineer. I'm a programmer. Oh, really? What programs have you written? Well, none.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when I got my first paycheck as a college intern working doing marine biology, and it was one of those like, awesome, I'm officially it. This is the magic turning point, because yeah.
Yeah, but that's the definition, right? I mean, if you're getting paid for doing whatever it is,
that's exactly like the official stamp. All the way up until then, I was a, you know, marine biology hobbyist. I was, you know, the same as the, you know, the accountant who, you know, goes down to the shoreline and collects algae or goes sport fishing. You know, no, you're not a marine biologist. You may know a lot about the stuff, but you're not a marine biologist. And all of a sudden, no, you're getting a paycheck for throwing fish in a bucket. Congratulations, you're a marine biologist. That was an old marine biology joke from college. It's everything marine biology related has to do with a bucket.
Well, of course.
Whether or not you're holding the bucket or somebody else is holding the bucket for you or all that, but it's just a bucket.
And you stole the bucket from that sea lion, right?
The walrus. The walrus. Yeah. My bucket. I was just about to mention him.
Yeah. He knows. Oh my God. So it's been like, what, 2 weeks since we did a show? Or 1 week? I can't remember.
I can look it up.
Well, no, we skipped last week because you were so tired.
I was really tired.
It used to be about the music, man.
It was never about the music. So,
We were going to talk politics last week.
Yeah, but now this week it's kind of like meh.
Politics. Yeah. Hillary's wearing a wig now.
Is she really?
You haven't seen this on the internet.
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, she apparently is wearing a wig now. And I don't know. You know,
that's
wigs
the typing Hillary
are,
wig.
Well, look at the picture. She's wearing a wig. It's clearly a wig. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, because wigs are pretty, even the best wigs, you look at them and you think, that's a wig. I don't know. Maybe she's so tired on the campaign trail, like she doesn't have time to get her hair done, so she throws on a wig. I don't know.
By the way, you don't say wig, say high fashion wig.
High fashion wig?
Yes, that's evidently the thing.
Oh.
Oh, I love, there's a headline. I was looking for Hillary wig pictures and I came across this one. This is what an example of liberal journalist wishful thinking. So, GOP establishment worried that Carson or Trump might win. So the Washington Post claims there's a draft Romney.
Oh my God.
Movement amongst the GOP establishment.
Romney lost to Obama. Come on. We can't do this again.
I mean, yeah, the fact that Romney, I mean, you could say all you want. I mean, I was just thinking this morning, I don't know why it popped into my head, but I was thinking about John McCain, and John McCain was far worse a candidate than Romney. I mean, you know, in a damning with faint praise sort of situation. But the fact that Romney could lose against Obama after he'd had 4 years to show his stripes,
mm-hmm.
and all the horrible things he had done and all of his feckless leadership and his tremendously low approval numbers is just saying that, like, Romney versus Adolf Hitler, it's going to be a pretty tough race.
Right.
Well, you know, Hitler's a good speaker.
Yeah. Well, it was the media, of course.
I don't know if Hitler's as anti-Jew as Obama.
Ooh. Damn. Well. Oh, you know, another interesting thing I was thinking of, you know, the day Obama got elected, you stopped seeing any hint, any whiff of an anti-war protester.
Yeah.
In the media.
Well, just like when Clinton got elected, the homeless vanished.
Right. So the people are still protesting the war. Code Pink is still active. Oh, yeah. You just don't know about it because
Cindy Sheehan showed up briefly during the 2012 race when she was Roseanne Barr's running mate.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
California.
So on the off chance that the stupid party doesn't fuck it up and gets a Republican elected president, I predict that for the first time in 8 years, suddenly you'll see war protesters in the media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
That's pretty shameless.
Yeah, but you know it'll happen.
I mean, we've got a president who was congratulating himself and bragging about, oh, I'm really good at killing people. Mm-hmm. He said that. When, you know, the whole drone thing, he loves the drones. Yep. He's good at killing people.
Yep.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this, University of wherever the fuck it was, where the
University of everywhere. Every time I turn my head, there's a new one that pops up.
Yale cracked me up. I was like, come on, you're Yale, for God's sake.
Or what was the one? Was it in Kansas? What was the one where the dean stepped down because the football?
It was Missouri.
That was Missouri.
Yeah, because allegedly somebody somewhere saw something naughty or heard something nasty,
and it was all made up.
It was all made up.
Okay, sure. And so this is funny. I heard a different take on this, and because I'm not a sports fan of any kind, I didn't know, but. I was down at one of the plants. Actually, this was yesterday, and they were talking about it. And then one of the guys goes, "Oh yeah," he goes, That team hasn't won a game in like the last 30 games. Yep. So for them to have a protest and not play is like no sweat.
Yeah.
So I thought that's because that's a different take. I hadn't, you know, it kind of like, you know, because you're like, you're wondering, okay, so why do all of a sudden do these football players give a shit? Right.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. there's nothing on the line.
So if they can forfeit a bunch of games, suddenly they don't have a losing season they need to count against them anymore. Oh. Starts making a lot more sense.
I love
but
this.
But again, like, how many times has somebody claimed to see like some sort of like, you know, racial slur, racial attack, or all of that, where there's, you know. You know, no cell phone video, no corroborating evidence sort of situation, and have it not be completely made.
Well,
Rachel Dolezal supposedly said, "Oh yeah, these people were hanging nooses on my door and spray painting this stuff on that and all that." And it's one of those like, either it never happened or she did it.
Well, the guy that was the president of the student council at this Missouri university that said that he's. Since retracted his claims and said it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So the whole thing. So basically the president of the university system resigned over a lie.
Yep.
By the way, somebody else's lie.
These social justice warriors are talking about all these like microaggressions and all that, but they're fucking ruining people's careers.
Oh yeah. Oh, did you see the one, where was the one where the white students were having a protest in support of the black students, and another group of black students
Missouri.
Protested Missouri. Them.
They need a safe space.
They created their segregation system in a former slave state.
After
George Wallace is laughing in hell right now.
Oh God!
After forcing an Asian photographer out, telling him to check his white privilege.
Oh,
that word you keep using. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Oh my God.
And where was it? Was she a journalism professor? Or I think she might have been a communication.
Same place. Yeah, that's
the same place. Same. I need some muscle.
Oh, looky here. University of Missouri names a black administrator as system's interim president.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Holy shit. You could knock me over with a feather right now.
Right?
Wait. Was he? He's not an outsider either. He's like some administrator from inside the university system, right?
Deputy Chancellor Emeritus of the Columbia campus, blah, blah.
What gender was he born as?
It's David Duke.
I don't know. He's...
Because one of the slams against this guy that resigned was because he was an outsider, and nobody liked him. Nobody in the administration liked him because he was trying to make changes that they didn't like and stuff like that. So I think there's more to this than you know, because you don't. I mean, if you're the president of the university, you don't resign over something like that.
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do these days.
Unless he was like, fuck you people. I've got my golden parachute, and I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he only made $10 million, but, you know, CEOs of companies shouldn't be paid money.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren makes $350,000 a year for teaching one class. But, you know, it's those evil banks who are fixing the student loan process.
Well, they're doing that too.
Because they run around putting guns to people's head, making them sign loans.
Well, here's my pick on the student loan thing. Yeah, it's a free choice, but okay, well, here's the thing. The universities, they know that these students they're admitting will not finish. They know it. And yet they're still admitting them as students, and they're giving it. They're encouraging them to load up on all this debt that they know they're not going to get a degree for. And you know, so I think there's a lot of disingenuous stuff going on there. They need to stop admitting students that they know are not going to finish the damn.
But it's the bank's fault for charging interest on a loan.
Well, no, it's not the bank's fault. That's my favorite. You know, I think it's the banks that lobbied to get student loans to be not dischargeable in bankruptcy.
You lost me. Why wouldn't they?
Well, because taxes and student loans are about the only thing you can't have discharged in bankruptcy. Everything else you can.
Oh, I'm sorry. That went into my head as not affected credit report. Never mind. My bad.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. You can't get rid of it by declaring bankruptcy.
Right.
Sorry.
Because otherwise, you know, shit, load up.
Right.
That'd be a winning strategy, you know. Go get your $100,000-$150,000 in debt. Get your college degree and get your law degree. Get whatever you're going to get, and then declare bankruptcy. And you know, okay, so your credit shit for 7 years. But so what? You don't have anything to lose. You're a student. You don't have anything. That. Not saying people should go.
It's all about those evil banks.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with, you know, your Ivy League schools cost what, $60,000 a year now?
Well, I think they ought to rate colleges on their like degree completion rates.
They ought to rate them on the number of graduates employed in their field.
Oh, well, there
That's
you go.
What they ought to do.
Oh, shit, that'd be like 10%.
Because completion And I say this as a guy with a bachelor's degree in biology, a master's degree in biochemistry, who's an editor. So I perhaps not the best choice, but, graduation rate is one metric, absolutely. But, you know, someone's got mail.
Yeah.
My wife's youngest sister went to MIT. Very smart, engineering, you know. She was friends with people that went to MIT to get an English degree.
Oh, yeah.
What? From Noam Chomsky.
Oh,
That's weird.
It's insanely expensive. And last time I checked, not a lot of Nobel laureates coming out of MIT.
No.
Sure, they have a fine program. However,
it's run by Noam Chomsky.
I could think of several other schools on the same tier as MIT in the same area where an English degree would be far more appropriate.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who do you know who has a good paying job off an English degree?
Yeah, well. But you can be a college professor and then you can wear the tweed jackets with patches on the elbows.
Yes.
Well, but that takes us around to the whole, you know, why degrees are that important today anyway, which is, you know, purely the fault of the government. So yet again, we have a situation where the government created a problem and then says, oh, look, we have a problem. We need to fix this problem.
Yeah. Let's raise taxes so we can fix the problem.
So we can give free education to everyone. Thank you, Bernie.
It should be free, just like you should make, you know, $180 an hour for any job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if 15, like you say, if $15 an hour is fine, then $100 an hour is better, right?
Yep, exactly. Everybody will be rich.
Yeah.
Think about it. $100,000 a year. Everybody's making a six-figure salary.
Yeah, it'll be great. In poverty, with a stroke of a pen.
Yep, we'll have Zimbabwe-level inflation.
Yes.
Hooray.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Cheeseburger will cost you $90,000.
You know, the only thing that matters is their intentions, right?
Right.
Jay, a cheeseburger will cost you $90,000 if you can find a place that has both beef and bread.
And cheese.
Yeah. Forget that.
Yeah, it's funny.
It'll be a sewer rat covered with Kraft processed cheese food in between wads of toilet paper.
And you'll be happy to have it.
You'd be happy to have it. Exactly. That's what my
shells.
Hey, Brita.
Yeah.
Did you cook anything good? Oh, your hot sauce.
Oh, that will take too much time to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Is it Ring Stinger hot sauce?
No, it's. I made a hot sauce, but I fermented the peppers and the garlic and the ginger together like you would ferment sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. So it's like a lacto fermented hot sauce. And I let it. You chop up your. Okay, I'll talk about it. It won't take long. You chop up all your ingredients: hot peppers, sweet peppers, you know, whatever you want. I added some garlic. I added some ginger, fresh ginger, and then you chop it up in the food processor. So it's, you know, kind of coarsely chopped, and you put it in a jar with a salt brine. It's just salt and water. And I have these jars set up so that they have airlocks, so that you have to have it fermenting anaerobically, because, you know, that's when you get the good bacteria going on and whatnot. So I let it ferment for 3 weeks, and I pureed the results, and it is absolutely delicious.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's like, it has like, you know, lactobacillus or whatever it's called. It's like the same good bacteria that's in yogurt, basically. So, you know, I'm eating my hot sauce and getting good bacteria. But the one thing I did want to mention on this show that I discovered, the easiest way to cook squash is to, because, you know, it's like squash time now. Squash is really cheap. It's really delicious. But like cutting into a raw squash is a pain in the ass because, you know, it's hard and you got to get the big cleaver out. And it's like, I don't know, whatever. The easiest way is take the squash, put it whole into your crock pot. You can add a little bit of water on the bottom because I do because I'm paranoid.
It's going to burn your house down.
That it will burn my house down.
I'm actually more paranoid that you'll get the caramelized bullshit at the bottom and I'll be scrubbing for hours.
You just put the whole entire squash in your crock pot. You don't cut it
open. That's what we had for dinner tonight.
Nothing. And you just cook it for like 8 hours or whatever until it's ready. And it's perfect and delicious and easy to handle. So stop fighting with your squash.
Yep. No, the grocery store was getting rid of a perfectly good spaghetti squash. And
yep.
Brought that home from the grocery store and just give the skin a good scrubbing with the old vegetable brush and then throw it in there and threw about, I don't know, cup and a half of water into the bottom of it, just enough to put like a quarter inch at the bottom of my crock pot. And took only about 6 hours for it to get done.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it depends on the squash. Butternuts are like, take longer. Spaghetti squash is not. And acorn squash doesn't take that long. So it really depends. Just keep an eye on it. But I don't know. It was like a revelation for me.
And turban squash looks like a Metroid.
Yes. And they're good though.
They're yummy. Yeah, they're yummy. I got to say, spaghetti squash kind of sucks, but got it for cheap. So
I always put pesto on my spaghetti squash. I don't put spaghetti sauce. I put pesto.
Because they call it spaghetti squash, so you have to put pesto on it.
Well, yeah.
You're appropriating my culture, Brita.
But to be fair, I mean, it's a
delicious, delicious culture.
The spaghetti squash is alarmingly mild. That's that is my complaint with it. Is it doesn't have like the acorn squash is my favorite, and that is like super duper rich and hearty. Like it's a nice, solid, like, I don't know, halfway between a squash and a sweet potato sort of idea.
I forgot to put the pancake recipe up on the blog.
Yeah, do that. Uh-oh.
Don't worry, my bananas are almost black. So
okay,
you get a couple of days.
All right,
that sounds racist.
I took pictures and everything when I did it last time.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, Mike loved them. I made them for the first time for Mike, and he loved them. So,
every time I look over at our little banana hanger and the bananas slowly getting spotty, is you know what? I got a plan for you guys. Go ahead.
Two eggs, one banana.
Yep. No, my daughter had a banana this morning for breakfast, and I was always like, no, I got plans for it.
There's always more bananas.
There's always more bananas. They're so damn cheap.
So you just reminded me with the crock pot. About time to make another batch of pulled pork.
I thought you don't use your crock pot because you're afraid of burning the house down.
It will. It will burn my house down, but it makes some damn tasty pulled pork.
you do it and you have to watch it cook, right?
Yes. For 8 hours.
Just in case.
No, as long as I'm home. You know, that way when it does try to burn the house down, I can put it out. Because they will. That's what they do. They're like Decepticons.
I have never read in the news, house burned down by crockpot. But I suppose there's always a first time.
That's right. I don't want to be the first. They say broccoli won't kill you, but I'm not going to let it try.
You don't like broccoli, Jay?
No, the funny part is I love broccoli. I'm like kind of stupid for steamed broccoli.
Yeah, I bought it was on sale at the grocery store. I bought a literal ass load of the stuff. My wife asked for some because she steams the broccoli and steams potatoes and then like with like cheese and like milk and all that, like whips it into like a mashed potato sort of thing that is like green and spectacular.
Little broccoli bits, yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good. And then I've still got a few heads left, but I also chopped a bunch of it up and again put it on a cooling rack in a baking sheet, and then salt, pepper, and olive oil, and then just roast it for about a half hour at 450 degrees. And that shit is amazing.
Cool.
And it's broccoli, so yes, it will be.
And it makes you fart. And farts are awesome.
Well, I think we're done.
Brita has to go to bed.
Yeah. After whatever the hell time
Brita
is.
Brita has to go to bed because of her white privilege.
Because her legs hurt.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely be back next week.
Okay. So. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Internet.
Y'all have fun. Bye.